With you. I can tell by the way that you sang that song, and Pastor Joe and I were conferring on this, that you've probably never heard that hymn before. Am I correct in that? Okay. I grew up with it. I thought it was familiar. Mea culpa. I am sorry. My apologies. Okay. So we got past that, right? And let's go on. Like many of you, I grew up watching professional wrestling on TV. We got any fans out there who care to admit that fact? A lot of people, you know, when I was growing up anyway, a lot of people said, well, that's all fake. That doesn't matter when you're a kid. You know, there is just something just flat out entertaining about watching big men with colorful personalities throwing each other around the ring. In fact, it was so entertaining that our family never missed big-time wrestling on KTVU Channel 2 every Friday night. That was our Friday night ritual, was professional wrestling. And so when I got to junior high school, I thought that I would like to become a wrestler. I decided I'd wanted to wrestle. I tried out for and actually made the team. Of course, I quit once I realized that it was a contact sport. But for that one brief shining moment, I could proudly call myself a wrestler. You know, it's a great sport, wrestling. And it figures in our Old Testament passage today, Jacob wrestling with this mysterious man. It's quite possible that the often used metaphor of wrestling with God comes from this story. Now, wrestling with God, let's just say it right up front. Wrestling with God is not a sign of unbelief or of rebellion against God. In fact, you could say that if we are truly dealing with the true God, and it kind of comes with a territory, to be the people of God means that we will strive with God. Keep in mind that in today's story, Jacob isn't looking to start a fight, but God is. In fact, God is looking to start a fight with each of us. And why is that? That is because God intends to finish what our ancestors started way back in the garden. Romans 5:19 tells us that through one man, Adam, through one man, Adam's disobedience, that the many were made sinners. And that's you and me, friends. And so if you find yourself struggling with God, take heart. It means God is wrestling for your soul, fighting the sin in you with the goal that you will someday be made whole. And praise God that you are the ones who decided to fight back. At least there's a fight going on. And that indicates faith, not unbelief. Because if you did not truly believe, if you didn't care about God at all, if you didn't want to deal with your sin and the death and the destruction that sin causes, there simply would be no fight. Unbelievers are those who don't fight God. They simply walk away from the fight. They conclude that this is not their fight. Or maybe they conclude that there is no God. I know a number of people who fit that category, and so do you. And there seems to be more of them these days. The Pew Research Center reports that 65% of Americans today consider themselves Christians. That's down from 77% in 2009. That's a 12% drop in just 10 years. That's catastrophic. The fastest growing religious category, those who identify themselves as nothing in particular. Now 17% of our population, up from 12%. How many of these have left the fight and are no longer wrestling? And please understand, I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying that to be God's people means that you're engaged in a wrestling match and that you're fighting God on some level. And our model for this is Jacob. Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, son of Isaac, and father to the 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, what kind of man is Jacob? Jacob, as you might recall, was twins with Esau, who came out of the womb first. And when he came out, here's Jacob, grasping Esau's heel, you know, from the very moment of birth, wrestling with Esau for first place. And the name says it all. They call him Jacob because Jacob means grabber, or literally, he steals. He cheats. The fact is that grabbing and cheating and deception become a life pattern for Jacob. He's a lying, weaselly, cheating, underhanded little snake who runs to mom for protection and advice whenever he can. He's a despicable character. He's the original Jake the Snake, long before there was a professional wrestler by that same name. And so he cheats Esau first out of his birthright, the eldest son's privilege, and then he cheats him out of his father's blessing. And Esau vows at that point that as soon as dad is buried, that he's going to kill Jacob, and who could really blame him? And so Jacob flees for his life to his uncle Laban. And it's been 20 years now when our story begins. 20 years, Jacob has finally and unsurprisingly worn out his welcome with Uncle Laban, and he decides to risk returning to Canaan. At first, he's got to get through Esau. And word has it that Esau is waiting for him with 400 men. And so Jacob decides to send some generous gifts and greetings ahead of him. Perhaps I can pacify him, he thinks. But will all this diplomacy actually work? Jacob sends his entire family and flocks to safety across the Jabbok River just in case things go badly. And so here he stands on the banks of the river. It's night. He's completely alone, and he's about to face a legion of 400. Now, some of you have been in a spot that feels an awful lot like that. You may have faced a crisis of some sort, and the odds against you are great. And you ask yourself, how am I going to survive this? You realize that there is no one else to shoulder the burden. You're all alone. These passages are lonely and sometimes very dark. And so you begin to pray. Oh, God, God, if you're there. Any of you been there? The last thing that you would need at a time like this is for some guy to show up out of nowhere and pick a fight with you. Remember, Jacob isn't looking for a fight. The fight is looking for him. Now, some have said that this whole story is about not really a wrestling match. There was no wrestling match. It's just colorful language for what happens in prayer. But come on. When's the last time that you prayed and ended up with a dislocated hip? Now, there was a wrestling match, and for all he knew, Jacob was fighting for his life. But so was the other man, fighting for Jacob's life, that is. And we know from how the story is told that the other man in the fight is none other than God himself. And to be more precise, he is the pre-incarnate Christ in bodily form, because otherwise, who could look at the face of God and live? And so that mystery is solved, but the questions don't end there. And maybe the biggest question of all is this. Is this really how God is? A God who ambushes Jacob, picks a fight with him and wrestles and then injures him? Is this the true God? Is this the God that we worship? In a word, yes. This is the true God. He is a God who in his divine purpose chooses and predestines, calls, perfects, pursues, and ultimately glorifies scoundrels of all kinds, even lying, cheating, weaselly, underhanded snakes like Jacob. And when God finally corners him, Jake the snake does what sinners do. He fights for his life. As in wrestling, it's all about control. Who controls whom? God or Jacob? Who's holding whose heel in this story? Jesus says, whoever would save his life will lose it. Jacob is really fighting to save his life. He's fighting for control. He didn't choose this fight. It chose him, and by God, he's in it to win it. But praise God, Jacob loses. And the man dislocates Jacob's hip with just a touch. There's no physical way Jacob can win, but you got to admire this guy because he soldiers on. The Lord says, let me go. Not unless you bless me, says Jacob. That takes guts. Does that remark even make sense to you? How would you and I respond to that? How do we respond to Jacob? Really, Jacob? Haven't you had enough? What are you trying to prove? But the man interestingly, neither condemns Jacob nor rewards him. He does something far more extreme. He puts him to death. In that culture, a person's name was their identity. And so the man says, "No longer shall you be called Jacob. Jacob has lost. Jacob will be no more." And Jesus says this many years later, "Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Receive a new name. You lose your old life, but you gain a new life. God speaks that new name and the new man into being. Even today, God speaks that new name and that new life into being. Every time we baptize a little baby or an adult. And so it is with Jacob. Jacob the grabber, Jacob the cheater, the deceiver, Jake the snake is gone. God has declared that Jacob will now be Israel, he who has striven with God and men and has prevailed. Now, we Lutherans know that we do not wrestle our salvation from God, that he declares us righteous by faith alone because of his grace alone. But in every case, there is a match, there is a fight. God wrestles the unbeliever, the sinner, to the finish line, and it's true of every true believer from Jacob's time onward. And so in Galatians, Paul refers to the church as the Israel of God. The name Israel literally meaning he who strives with God. What is true for Jacob is also true of all of Jacob's descendants. We are the people who strive with God and who prevail by God's grace. We receive the blessing. Now, long after this match between Jacob and the man, and this is one of the strange synchronicities of the Bible. Long after this match, ages after, centuries after, one of Jacob's descendants would follow a similar path. And we know this because we know these very familiar words, that on the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus was found, not in a wilderness, but in a garden. And like Jacob, he arrived with others, but he took his last steps alone. And there, in the Garden of Gethsemane, utterly alone, like Jacob, he wrestled with God. He wrestled so much that it says that sweat, like great drops of blood, fell from his face. And he said these words, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And on that night, Jesus did indeed strive with God. He would soon strive with men. But unlike Jacob, on that night, there was no blessing for Jesus, no new name. Only later, when Jesus rose gloriously from the tomb and then ascended to his throne in heaven, did all of that become clear, that he, in fact, that night and that next day was the victor, the overcomer. It all became clear only later on. And so Hebrews 12 calls this Jesus, the one who goes before us, the author and the perfecter of our faith. No one more clearly models out what it means to wrestle with God than our Lord Jesus himself. And so what's the point? Where's the application? We are God's people. We are the Israel of God. And that means that we too will find ourselves wrestling with God. And so some of you deal with illness, besetting illness. Some of you are dealing with loss. Perhaps it's financial loss or worse. You may be dealing with the loss of a loved one. Here's my exhortation for you. Don't give up the fight. Wrestle. Wrestle with God. Wrestle with God. Argue with him if you have to. Bring your doubts and your disappointments to God, but don't leave the fight. For those of you who are on the younger end, your struggle might be entirely different. You might be asking yourself, I'm an adult now or almost going to be an adult. Do I really want to continue this Christian thing? You know, a lot of my peers, a lot of people in society are saying it's not true, it doesn't matter. This fight is not yours, just walk away. Like apparently many have. And my exhortation to you is keep struggling. Keep asking God the hard questions. Keep fighting with Him if you have to. Keep struggling. Wrestle with God. Don't give up the fight. This is your identity. It's to struggle with God. And so, people of God, you are God's people. You are the ones who have striven with God and with Christ. You have prevailed. You have become more than overcomers. For your own sake, for God's sake, for the life of the world, don't give up struggling. Keep wrestling. Amen.